Today's episode of Still Entitled is brought to you by Videoblocks. They offer great value with an unlimited download model. Choose from a library of over 115,000 HD video clips, After Effects templates, motion backgrounds, and cinemagraphs. On average, subscribers pay less than $1 per download over the course of a year, and they have a great variety of time lapses, aerials, U.S. international locations, slow motion, nature shots, and more. Everything is 100% royalty-free, even if a subscription is canceled. Videoblocks is also offering listeners of this podcast a year's subscription for only $99. This is $50 off the usual price tag for our listeners only, less than $10 a month. Get your subscription today for only $99 at videoblocks.com/stilluntitled. That's Videoblocks, VideoBlocks.com/stilluntitled for this exclusive offer. Now on with the show.
Welcome to Still Entitled, the Adam Savage Project. I'm Will.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Norm.
Hey!
Hey, we're back.
We're back.
It's another month of trips.
It is.
When you quit Mythbusters,
yeah.
I thought, oh, it's going to be nice. Adam's going to get to spend some time at home. He'll be in the shop some.
Yeah, no.
He's going to just, relax, have fun.
Well, so I am spending more time in the shop. Actually, blissfully so. My time in San Francisco is spent with a much more regular oscillation in here. I'm working on a belt grinder right now.
Okay.
And having a lot of fun. But yeah, I'm traveling like ludicrous amounts. So then there was the month-long trip of driving my boys across country and
right.
doing all that stuff, going on to the Expanse. And then I just got back.
Hold on, you went on to the Expanse?
I visited the set of the Expanse.
Were you an extra?
There's,
can you talk about
we can't
that?
Stir some things we can't talk about
yet. We can't
yet.
Talk about that just yet.
Damn it.
But I visited the set because Ty and Daniel, the who are together, James S.A. Corey, the writers, they're friends. We saw them at Comic-Con in New York. And I just got back from a 12-day trip.
Oh, my goodness.
That I visited, I think, 9 states in 12 days.
That's it? What a slack ass.
Were any of those road trips or was it all by plane?
Let's see. Just to do this as fast as possible. I flew to Portland to have a birthday party with some family I have up there. Then I went to Baltimore to build the sign for South by South Lawn. Drove from Baltimore Monday morning to South by South Lawn. Did that. That night, flew to Orlando for a corporate appearance. The night of the corporate appearance, I flew to
Pittsburgh
and did 2 days of videos there about makerspaces and Pittsburgh maker culture. And then I went from there to New York's Comic-Con. From New York's Comic-Con, I drove to Vermont to have parent-teacher meetings with my son's school. Then from there to Boston to meet up with my other son to look at colleges. From Boston back to New York and 3 lovely days in New York.
Wow.
Looking at colleges with my son and having some meetings.
New York.
And New York. In the first week in October is literally like the greatest place on earth.
So I was there the weekend before you guys were there for New York Comic Con for Maker Faire.
Yes.
And it was rainy and crappy,
sorry.
But still really good. Like it was wet and it wasn't springtime in New York, which is the best New York.
New York has these two periods and it's in April and it's in October.
Yeah.
And those two seasons, if you will, New York is like, it's this perfect temperature. I love New York. I lived there. I grew up there. And going back there in October and taking my kid and his girlfriend was just thrilling to watch them become intoxicated with Manhattan.
A photographer's dream, too.
Yes.
Do you still get excited? When I have a New York trip coming up, I have a palpable sense of excitement.
I walk everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
I was putting in 3 or 4 miles a day just because, like, with headphones in and walking down the street, New York just feels like the best place.
Did you wish you had your one wheel?
I really wished I had my one wheel.
Tell.
And I'm literally thinking about next time I travel to New York, shipping ahead. I have 2 one wheels because I like to ride with friends.
Of course.
And so I was thinking about shipping this. I know, I'm profligate. I apologize.
Wouldn't it be very Jason Bourne-like if you just had a storage locker?
Yes!
Just like with
In JFK?
There
are no storage lockers in New York anymore. Like, you used to be able to drop your luggage at Grand Central.
All right,
And no longer can you do that post 9/11. My ex-wife and I, that was one of the ways we would do stuff. You know, because if you take a red eye, anyway.
We've done that. Norm and I had to call a friend one morning at 7 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, we got here early on the red eye. Oh, you weren't there, Norm. It was Joey and me.
Yeah.
And we had to call a friend and be like, hey, we can't get into our Airbnb until 4 o'clock this afternoon. We have an entire film crew worth of gear. Can we come dump it in your apartment?
To watch a movie.
Thank you, Ross Miller. Well, we were really tired. Ross Miller from The Verge let us dump a ton of gear in his apartment, which was tiny, and we filled it, and it was up like 6 flights of stairs. So it was a very New York experience for us.
So New York was amazing, and the whole trip was amazing. Yeah. I mean, we got a ton of great material for Tested, which will be going up in the next few weeks.
We rolled out. When we last recorded with John Scalzi, you had just finished walking with your Totoro costume, I think we could elaborate even further on that. The video's up now.
Did you podcast with Scalzi
in
New York?
Did.
Yes. Oh, you bastards.
He has a standing invitation to visit.
Okay.
So he will come and visit us in the cave.
Scalzi. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
I'm showing Will the picture of Totoro, which we could post up.
Did you hide the camera?
The camera was underneath the leaf.
Okay.
We have the footage. We recorded the footage of my view. And there's fur at the bottom of the frame.
Oh,
so when people hugged me, their face buries into the fur at the bottom of the frame. Totoro, how do I say this? This is one of the most engaging and deeply satisfying costume walks I have done, save for No Face. And I want to take Totoro out again. I'm saying this out loud in public. We're going to post up a one-day build. I built it in 14 hours. It's built like a paper lantern and only weighs about 15 pounds. It's a very reasonable costume to make, both expense-wise and materials and skill level. And the build will demonstrate how to do that. I'm going to do other costumes, but I think Totoro might become a regular appearance at different cons.
Oh, that's so good.
Mm-hmm. Because it's so, like, people's response demographically, it was across the spectrum. I had, like, 60-year-old guys like, oh, Totoro, and, like, 5-year-old kids.
You know, your cosplay talk at TED was about, it culminated in a No-Face story.
Yeah.
And that was a very visceral reaction that you had, and also as a performer, and also the fans had. Same thing with Totoro. Both of those are Miyazaki characters, which speaks to the endurance, and there's some tangible aspect to those characters.
It really does, and what I want to do with Totoro is, over various cons, I would like to deepen the experience of the costuming. So I think I want to add a sound system so I can make Totoro sounds that have a real rumbling bass. Actually, Jeremy's coming by today to talk to me about this.
Mm.
I want some smaller Totoros behind me, like following me.
Yes. I mean, that should be easy to do.
Right? I want to put in some other functionality that I won't talk about just yet because it'll be a surprise. But, like, the idea is just continuing to... Again, sometimes you dress up because you want an experience for yourself of what it's like to be a superhero, and I totally get that. And the Miyazaki characters is kind of like, it's more like I'm dressing up to give other people the experience of what it's like to look up and there's Totoro.
And be in that world.
And be in that world, and let's just be there together. And I was doing a dance and I had no idea how it looked, but when I saw the tape, I was like, oh, the dance looks great.
You need the music playing. Like, it needs to play that.
That's it. Yep. Hey, let's go. Yeah, right, totally. Right. That's also why I want the sound
system. I can't remember how it goes. It's the doo-doo. It's like doo-doo-doo music, and then it plays a really lilting, whimsical beat.
So a question is, does that experience also work outside of conventions?
Well,
like, would the reactions be as visceral on the street?
I don't know.
I bet if you walked down to Japantown.
Absolutely.
And then I was thinking about Japantown, and, like, we could do a shoot where I just walked up the street in Japantown and waited at the bus station. Well,
yeah. Oh, no, photo shoots are perfect.
Oh,
for the, yeah.
We should talk.
But, Totoro is not a costume that hasn't been done. Totoro's been done. There's many, many, many wonderful, totally spanning the spectrum versions of Totoro. In fact, Ippolito sent me a picture from Dragon Con of a Trontoro. Of Totoro with like Tron lights all over it.
I don't know. I reject this.
My heart explodes to thinking how much I love the idea of someone who's like, I've got to take Miyazaki and Tron and put them together.
Yeah, that's two great tastes. Why wouldn't you?
You might add Hannibal Lecter for the ultimate hat trick.
Mm-hmm. I want to see what the kids' reactions are, because for I think a lot of kids these days that's probably the first film that they see or among them, and he's like, for me, when I saw that movie as an adult, I was expecting the Grimm's dread to come in, and right. I expected Totoro to eat,
right?
I expected some really horrible stuff to go down with this kid,
and it never does
because it's Japan, and
it's just a big beautiful heart.
They're delightful.
So that was amazing.
Yeah.
I was at South by South Lawn.
Yeah, tell us about that whole experience. I wasn't there. It was at the White House.
So this was the last major South Lawn event of the Obama administration. Inspired by his visit to South by Southwest last year, they decided to throw South by South Lawn on the White House lawn. And this was, I don't even know how many thousands of people, 3,000 or 4,000 people on the South Lawn all day from 11 a.m. until like 10 p.m. And they had forums, they had onstage conversations, they had booths with amazing groups. Jose Andres was showing the future of fuel-less cooking and really inexpensive ways of bringing cooking to the third world. Wonderful Oakland group called Black Girls Code, all these amazing bands. The Lumineers were playing. I met Hannibal Buress, and Leonardo DiCaprio and Obama interviewed on stage. We're talking on stage about global warming and how we respond to it
and
going to Mars.
Wow.
It was totally inspiring.
I mean, obviously a play on South by Southwest. So thematically, was it kind of that festival atmosphere, music and culture?
Very
and
much.
Technology.
With food trucks.
Oh, okay.
And it was also a way of highlighting the last 8 years of what the Obama administration has done and pushed out into the world, but also looking towards the future about what is the legacy of what this administration has already done. This is the, this is an administration where some of the people who work at the White House were telling me, this is insane. Like 8 years ago, if you'd suggested this, you'd be carried out of the White House in a straitjacket. And now here we are, where it's like your rich uncle has decided to throw the best, most informative block party ever.
And I assume everything that would happen there was recorded and is either available or will be available.
Yes.
So that people
and we were
see
there recording, we were filming, we interviewed a bunch of different folks. But most importantly, I had been talking to Andrew Coy, the director of making for the Obama administration, about the sign, right? There was going to be a SXSL, South by South Lawn sign. Mm-hmm. With this wonderful maker out of Baltimore, Jen Schachter, and the Digital Harbor Foundation, I kind of did some of the first drawings, and then Jen designed the mechanical sign. And then we went to Digital Harbor in Baltimore on the Sunday before South by South Lawn and built the sign out of plywood, 7.5 feet tall, with 50 kids.
Oh, that's right. Awesome.
All, it was a huge collaboration.
7 to 17. Yeah. I actually had as much or more fun in Baltimore building that sign than I did at the South by South Lawn event. These kids were incredible. I mean, there was this... the number of ways in which it was thrilling are too many to count, but there's one moment where this young girl is like 13 years old. We're painting the back of this sign and painting it black so that it disappears and so you just see the sign in the photos, and she's like repainting this footprint black, and she's like, yo, is this what your job is like? And I was like, yes, it is, honey. I swear, like 90% of everything you'll ever do is drudgery. And if you do that really well, the 10% you get to do is really cool. And that's how life works. And it was like, and we're just talking. We were making that sign for 11 straight hours.
Yeah.
So the kids being freaked out by me being there, that disappeared very quickly and just became this wonderful group effort of stapling and sanding and gluing and painting and eating pizza. I mean, It was incredible.
It was like a pop-up makerspace.
It was. And, you know, kudos to the Digital Harbor Foundation for having such, having 50 kids they can call at the drop of a hat. I mean, and they asked me that morning, they were like, do you think you have enough work for 50 kids? And I was like, I have no idea. I've never built anything with this many people.
What do you do with 50 kids?
It took everybody. It ended up taking the effort of absolutely everybody there. And it was really inspiring. The thing I said to the kids at the end, and this will be in the video that we put up on Tested, is, you know, when you tell the story about building this sign, I want you to remember that I didn't build this sign with your help. You built the sign with my help. I was just one player in this. Yep. And when you see pictures of this, you get to say rightfully, I built that. And that's such an amazing thing, because that sign was the selfie station at South by South Lawn. Oh. The letters were placed, like the Hollywood sign letters, right in front of the South Lawn entrance to the White House, and everybody in the world took their picture in front of those.
Oh, that's so good.
Letters.
And we have to give a proper shout out to Jen, who worked on the design for that. I was making sure I got her info right. We have been in touch with her to bring her to the Cape.
She's
going to
come and make something. Jen is an amazing find. I'm so glad to have met her. She took the construction of this sign. I've said this before, you know, I can only build something when I put it in my head.
Yeah.
And she came up with a simple yet complicated way to build this sign that she managed and totally worked. And there was some, you know, always stuff to fix at the last minute, and we didn't quite have enough materials and didn't quite have the right tools, and yet we totally made it work. She was a completely perfect collaborator on this, and that's not the end of our collaboration.
Right, awesome. And she's also has a project called We the Builders, which I want to give a shout out to. It's a 3D printing project where she designs and sculpts a model, and then they get people from all over the country to contribute a chunk of it to make it into a statue, a 3D printed chunk. So yes. This year it's Rosie the Riveter as the beautiful sculpture. And
they're large scale. Like her projects are large scale.
Big scale.
Thousands of people contribute.
Right, right. And then everyone prints different colors. It becomes this mosaic of 3D printing. And we're going to get Sean and Simone to work together to contribute a piece to it.
It's kind of like a quilting bee, right? Everybody does a square and then somebody sews them all together at the end.
The other funny thing about Jen is that she and I have almost... Both of us were shocked by the other's drawings because we thought that we'd done them.
Really?
Like we have an almost identical drawing style. So as we were before the, you know, in advance of this, because this all came together very quickly. Like we were first talking about the sign maybe 25 days before the event. And like she was cutting the pieces 3 days before the event. So there was lots of back and forth of me taking drawing in my notebook and sending her a screen grab of it. And she's doing the same thing. And I saw her drawing and I was like, I don't remember drawing that. It's not my drawing. And she had the exact same experience.
Oh, that's funny.
Where's that sign going to live now?
That's a really good question. And I heard some speculation, but I really don't know. It is, you know, the thing is because this was part of an official White House event, the emails and the documentation and the designs of the sign are part of the Obama legacy, right? So we were contributing
the Obama Library in Chicago.
Maybe. Oh. Maybe they just won an S or an X.
Yes,
who knows?
Right.
it absolutely unparalleled and wonderful. And then, Tested and I went to Pittsburgh and covered a bunch of different makerspaces there and took a look at how Pittsburgh is looking to equalize opportunities for kids to have the ability to go to makerspaces and learn the magic of being able to make something.
Well, when I was at Maker Faire, I hung out at the Glowforge booth for a little bit and met some people. And I talked to three librarians who were in different kinds of libraries. Like one was a small town rural, one was a big city, central library. But they were talking about adding makerspaces to the library because one of the challenges of being a librarian in a world where you can just go to Amazon and buy whatever book you want and have it instantly is that libraries are a little bit less relevant now than they were.
They seem a little bit less
relevant. They can seem less relevant.
Yeah.
And so they were talking about how to get virtual reality and how to get, you know, home CNC type devices and how to build a makerspace. And in one case, we were talking about how to use a space that was about 4 feet by 6 feet, I think. It was a big closet.
Yeah.
And what you could put in there.
And the Fab Lab Foundation has many different models for how to fit very facile and wide-ranging makerspaces and tiny spaces. And yeah, you know, the public libraries are an amazing opportunity for makerspaces because it's always been this. I feel like if someone if public libraries didn't exist and someone proposed it today, it would never fly. Never.
No. There's right? no. What's the public good? Letting people giving people free access
right.
to books.
Right. Right. But internet.
It's anti-capitalist.
Right. And it's but yet it is such a deeply important part of our culture. I grew up going to the library every weekend. Yep. That was one of our weekend entertainments.
My mom every Tuesday after school we had a branch library by my elementary school. So after school you could just walk over there and pick
right.
up books.
Right.
But it was small and she would take us to the main one downtown. Once a week, basically.
It's just great.
And so, we had 45 minutes to get as many books as we could get the librarians to give us.
Maybe it's retired that idea of needs to be quiet in the library for the local branches and reassign the quiet areas to
When I was in Cleveland, the Cleveland Public Library was one of the earliest public library makerspaces, mm-hmm. and the director of the Cleveland Public Library is now director of the National Library Association, looking to bring the innovations that he learned in Cleveland to the whole country. I've heard about a library that has sewing machines you can check out in the library.
I don't sew enough to need a sewing machine that I own.
Yeah,
but I would totally check out a sewing machine twice a year.
Right.
Because I could definitely use a sewing machine twice a year.
Absolutely. And to me, that kind of giving the citizenry the ability to expand a little bit without having to use up their own space. It's that public space where they can go expand their minds and expand their abilities is just brilliant.
Instead of coin Very checks, cool. library card checks.
Yes, exactly.
There you go.
So let's see. What, is there anything I'm missing? Comic-Con was incredible. I'm sorry you missed. We ended up hanging out in my suite at the con.
I was in
the con.
2-hour ride to the airport.
I know.
Oh, you did JFK, huh?
No,
and
Newark.
And the traffic. Oh. Did you end up going on that ill-fated trip to Hoboken?
yeah.
We all got in this car to leave New York Comic Con,
uh-huh.
and it was taking so long. I actually got out of the car.
Bailed. Like,
oh, I've done that.
Jumped and rolled
because it was. Yeah. I had people showing up at my room for dinner, and these guys ended up taking a wrong turn and ended up in Hoboken.
Oh man, I don't think that's good.
And so we, Ty and Daniel and some other really close friends, and Scalzi, mm-hmm. all came back to the suite and we hung out
nice.
A good portion of the evening.
Cool.
Yeah, good times in New York.
When I was in New York, I haven't had time to like sightsee in New York for like 5 years.
Right.
And I left Sunday morning. I had a 5 o'clock flight. I had to check at my hotel at like 11 o'clock in the morning. And I had the day to kill.
Yeah.
So I went I went down to the Oculus, which is the new PATH transit hub at World Trade Center.
Oh, I did not know about this.
So it's a it's basically the train station where the trains come in from New Jersey hit the subway in New York.
Sure.
And it's right under it's in the same
One World Trade Center.
One World Trade Center. And it is the most gorgeous piece of modern architecture that I have ever seen in person.
How big is it?
It's enormous. So
I have no idea.
It's probably 2 or 3 football fields long.
Wow.
It's deep. It's 4 stories deep in the ground is the floor when you walk in. So when you walk up to it outside, it looks like a whale skeleton, right? It's like these arched spars that cross and then extend beyond the crossing point, and there's glass in between them, and it literally looks like a giant skeleton of this building, and those go down into the ground. So you walk into a relatively small number of doors upstairs, because I think the idea is that most of the people who visit this facility are coming in on one train and leaving on another train, never see the sun except for through the skylights in the floor area. And the big central concourse area is a 2-story like shopping mall, of course, because it's America. but it's the spars all the way down, and there's glass. And when you stand in the floor, it simultaneously feels like a set from a science fiction movie, and like you're the smallest part of this incredible machine. Like it's really a fascinating experience. You when you walk in off the street, you're on a platform where you have this view of the entire thing. You can see all the people walking down below, but they're so far away that they look tiny.
Oh my gosh.
So it does the Vegas thing where everything seems close, but it takes a long time to get to one end to the other.
It actually isn't that big though. I think it took the walking path is a little bit long to get down. Cause I, it, like intentionally, I think they want to keep the tourists from going down onto the main floor.
I'm gobsmacked. I didn't know about this. I can't believe I didn't go.
Well, it just opened in March.
Okay,
so
still,
it's new.
I was there for like 4 days. I'm a total idiot.
Oh, I'm so sorry. No.
I'm going to go next time.
It is. I went and just walked around and took pictures for like an hour and a half. I was afraid that the security people were going to like.
I'm sure plenty of people.
I'd done
take
enough
pictures.
Laps, but I was carrying a like rolly suitcase in the whole thing, and I'd done enough laps that I'm sure that they, like I was getting the look.
Was it packed?
It was a big enough space that I think you could have 20,000 people in there, and it wouldn't feel packed.
Oh my god, that's massive!
Right. It was. My guess is that if you stand up on that ledge at morning rush hour and you watch the PATH trains come in, you'll see a surge of people and they'll get onto the subway station. Because the PATH is on one end of the Oculus and the subway station is on the other end. So they have to walk through this big open area.
Mm. Oh, God, it sounds amazing.
It is.
For that to be your daily commute.
Yeah.
I mean, not bad. Well, I mean, in the future.
When I lived... You know, I for a portion of my time in New York, Grand Central was part of my daily commute.
Oh, man.
And again, one of the loveliest buildings in the world.
So I stayed in the Hyatt in Grand Central this time.
Oh, yeah.
I usually stay in little hotels when I'm in New York, but this time it worked and it was on the right train lines. And I mean, what an amazing thing to walk, like to walk through the main concourse of Grand Central is just, I listened to that episode of 99 PI on the plane on the way back, where they talked about Penn Station and Grand Central and the battle between the two.
Yeah.
And I really wish I knew more of what old Penn Station looked like before they destroyed the gorgeous one.
My dad just said it was the most beautiful building. It's such a shame that it was torn down.
But yeah, so it was a lovely visit.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We had a visitor here at the cave yesterday. My new friend, Mike Massimino, astronaut Mike Massimino, who repaired the Hubble Space Telescope.
Is he Astro Mike on Twitter?
He is Astro_Mike on Twitter. A delightful and amazing man. He's got a brand new book out. I was interviewing him about the book at the JCC yesterday. And then we went out to dinner. And in a lovely bit of confluence, Tom Sachs is also in town. So I brought Tom to meet Mike. And Mike didn't know about Tom's work. And watching the two of them.
Like, that had to be great.
Oh, it was. Tom was like, I don't even know where to begin. There's so much to go over. But, you know, and starting the download, and Mike just totally got it and loved it. And yeah, it was a very energetic and fun dinner conversation we had last night.
That exhibit's still going on. People should. I haven't had a chance to go back.
Tom's
exhibit, YBCA.
A space program is still at YBCA through January, and there will be another mission, another demonstration in January. But I mean, go see it. Go see the full size LEM. It's right across the street. Well, the Kubrick exhibit closes this week, right?
I think so.
It closes on the 30th. I thought it was the end of the month.
End of the month.
So is this for tomorrow or for next week?
This is for tomorrow. Yeah. Okay. So next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, the deadlines for registering to vote in states around the country, some have probably already passed by this point.
Right.
But like 28 states, you can still register to vote. So if you haven't registered to vote,
please vote.
Please register to
vote. Yes.
Vote.
It's like very important.
You might not agree with our politics. And I know that some of you don't, which is totally fine. And that's what this whole country is founded upon. But you have to vote. You have to vote. It's really, really vital. Everyone has to vote. In Australia, they penalize you if you don't. And I actually really like that idea. You actually get fined if you don't vote in Australia.
I mean, look, well,
if our infrastructure was set up to make it more easier, then yes.
In states like Ohio, where they intentionally obstruct and make it take 6 hours to vote, I would be against penalizing people for not voting.
But
in California, it takes like 5 minutes every time I've ever voted.
Yep.
Philosophically, yes. Absolutely.
Vote
or die.
And one last shout out. Last week, I was down in LA and I visited Prop Store, and Phil Tippett, our friend Phil Tippett, is auctioning off much of his ephemera props from his whole history of filmmaking.
Wow.
Not a lot of the stuff he wants to keep for himself, like the super prize stuff, but the full size Kane is being auctioned off. Full size top torso of Kane.
The one that I put my arm in. Oh, wow. Yeah.
The RoboCop stunt suit is being auctioned off. And those are like the big prize ticket items, you know, some of the Starship Troopers, Metcats, the things that we got to see. And there's a video on Tested right now. You should check it out. Brandon and I from Prop Store flipped through many of his drawings and just boxes of archival material from Jurassic Park and Star Wars. sketches that have never been seen before of the characters he came up with for those films that were never used, and handwritten notes on the scripts. It's worth watching the video and checking out the catalog, even if you're not going to buy anything, just to see that stuff.
Totally.
That sounds awesome. I think that's as good a place as any for us to wrap it up this week.
We've covered a lot. There's been a lot going on.
The things, the going-ons, they have happened.
And, of course, I got one last shout-out. Tested Live Show next Saturday, October 29th. Please, tickets are on sale now. We'd love to see you there at the Castro Theater in San Francisco. And we'll all be there.
I was me using my sting for orcs, just in case
for the audio listeners
who were just listening to the audio were wondering why that sound showed up.
Yeah, so we announced what?
No, we're keeping that secret.
Oh, we're keeping that secret?
Yes.
Okay, just in case it doesn't work.
That's right.
Okay,
keeping it
good
secret.
Policy.
Yeah. Okay. Lots of special things.
Okay, see you guys next week.
See
Bye,
ya.
Guys.
Bye.
Thanks again to VideoBlocks for sponsoring us today. VideoBlocks offers great value with unlimited downloads from a library of 115,000 HD video clips, After Effects templates, motion backgrounds, and cinemagraphs. On average, subscribers pay less than $1 per download over the course of a year, with access to a variety of time lapses, aerials, U.S. international locations, slow motion, nature shots, and more. And they're continuously adding new content to their library so it stays fresh. Everything is 100% royalty-free, even if a subscription is canceled, and you have unrestricted usage rights for personal or commercial projects. Keep what you download and maintain usage rights forever. Now, VideoBlocks is offering our listeners a year subscription for $99. That's $50 off their usual price tag for our listeners only, less than $10 a month. Get your yearly subscription today for only $99 at videoblocks.com/stilluntitled. That's VideoBlocks, VideoBlocks.com/stilluntitled. And we'll see you next week.